A very good evening and welcome along to this edition of Gospel for You. Gospel for You is a radio production produced by Gospel for Grampian Radio based in Aberdeen. And our heart is to get the gospel out to every language group around the world. That gospel is the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The other scripture that we use, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But here's the thing. We need to accept that God really exists. We need to accept that God really sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place. And sometimes it takes the faith of a child to actually believe that. And Jesus had something to say about that, and that forms our theme for today. A childlike faith. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." We can have all our plans, our adult plans. We can have all our ideals. But unless we choose to realize who God is and that he sent his Son Jesus Christ, this scripture is saying that all our plans, all our purposes, everything that is going on this world means of nothing. Because he said, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, that includes me, by the way, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to enter the kingdom of heaven, but it means that I have to go and put my plans aside and turn my focus on to Christ. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 9, and it goes on. "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." Now, this is mentioned in the Bible, listeners. And it means it's a very real place. In fact, it's so real that sometimes God, who is capable of anything at any time, is capable of taking people who are not yet aware of him, not yet aware of what heaven and hell are like, and giving them an experience. And we're going to be hearing just one such experience very soon from Jim Woodford, who was in conversation with Dudley Anderson of SureReality.com. Also in the program this evening, you will be able to hear your gospel, that's John 3:16, in Ukrainian, in Turkish, and in Afan Oromo. It is an African language from Ethiopia. But bearing in mind that people travel, who knows, there may be someone listening tonight who is from Ethiopia and understands that language. We want to make sure, as Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 says, that we obey what God says to do. Go and make disciples of all men. How do we do that? Through telling of God's word, telling of the gospel, and giving insight through testimony. And that testimony coming up from Jim Woodford in just a moment. But also we'll be hearing from Vijay Pillai as he explores who Jesus Christ is. And we'll also be hearing from Trevor James Mayer. It's that song, which some of you may well have heard, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, reminding us of that importance of a childlike faith. All to come here on Gospel for You. Let's now go in to your gospel in Ukrainian.
Welcome to your gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world. This is your gospel in Ukrainian.
Йоанн 3:16. Бо Бог так полюбив світ, що дав Сина свого єдинородного, щоби кожен, хто вірує в нього, не загинув, але мав життя вічне.
Your gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, where it is heard every hour on the hour on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in live from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
This is The Reality. Hello to you. Welcome to The Reality. My name's Dudley Anderson. So good to be with you. Today on The Reality, we have an NDE story, or a near-death experience. A successful airline pilot and businessman who was far from God, died, and had a vision of heaven and hell. Jim Woodford lay in a hospital bed, clinically dead for more than 11 hours, while his consciousness was transported to the wonders of heaven and the horrors of hell.
Dudley, I'm standing on the most incredibly beautiful green grass I have ever seen. And as I looked at this beautiful vista, I turned my head just slightly to the left. And then the strangest thing occurred. It was as though a line had been drawn directly in front of my vision. And the vista changed dramatically. It went from beautiful green grass to scorched black. And coming through those doors was the most hideous creature you can imagine.
We speak with Jim Woodford today via Zoom. Well, it's my pleasure today to have on Zoom Jim Woodford. And Jim, we're going to be talking about your experience in heaven. You had what is called an NDE, or near-death experience. My goodness, how did that happen?
Well, first of all, Dudley, thank you for having me, and hello to your listeners from Canada. Where I'm located. Every day, Dudley, I ask myself, why me? Because I was the poster child for someone that didn't follow anything related to Christianity. I got into aviation at a young age, became a commercial airline pilot, or bush pilot, I should say, at the tender age of 18 in 1967. And I'm 75 years old now. And that was my main focus. And pilots are terribly technical people. And if I can't find an owner's manual, then I don't believe the science behind it. And I'm sad to say that although I had a good upbringing and a wonderful Christian family, like so many of us, I got distracted by life. And then I guess I got the ultimate wake-up call. I came down with I won't say a rare disease, but it's not common. It's called Guillain-Barré, and it is the eradication of the myelin sheath on your brainstem. And there were complications, and I went from a guy that flew jets and water skied and jumped horses and race Jaguars to a guy, to someone that couldn't care for myself. So I had the ultimate wake-up call. There were complications, and from those complications, I was declared deceased.
My goodness.
And my book is called Heaven, An Unexpected Journey. Mm-hmm. In that passage of time, when there was absolutely no brain sign on two screens that the neurologist had me connected to. Of course, here in Canada, you know, everyone is triaged when they're brought in. I died in my truck. And so the 11 hours comes from the documented time that I can prove. So that's from the time that I disappeared to the time the Royal Canadian Mounted Police found me by triangulating my cell phone. I was in my truck on one of my properties.
Excuse me, Jim. May I just stop you there for a minute? I just want to conceptualize this. You were in your truck, and I assume your heart stopped, and you died. You were taken into hospital. You were declared dead. They had you on the machines, and there was no activity in your brain. At that very moment when this was happening, when you were actually in that state, did you have a consciousness? Did you know where you were? You know, you had an experience after death. Was there a consciousness of where you were at that moment?
Absolutely. And to give you a visual reference, I drove up into that field that night. It was late afternoon, early evening. I was facing the setting sun, and I was in that field with the attempt of trying to, I had put it up for sale. It was a large piece of property. It was in not a remote area. It was part of our horse ranch. Mm. And I was feeling very sick. I didn't drive much, so I was on backcountry roads. But I stopped facing the setting sun, and as I'm sitting there, I took more medication. And of course, people always say, "Well, this was what happened." The fact is that with the screens today, they can tell if you're hallucinating, dreaming, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was completely flatlined. So I saw this. I'm looking at the sun, and I'm thinking how beautiful it is, and it's setting. And little did I know that the sun was setting on the day, but it was also setting on my life. And suddenly, and I'd been on medication for some months, but the disease had progressed to the point where I was almost paralyzed, and would have days of fairly good days and days that were terrible. So suddenly my lungs began to seize, and this is typical of Guillain-Barré, the paralysis of the lungs. And to put it into a terms that's easy to understand, I kept raising my head as though I was trying to hold it above water to try to get a breath of air. And then suddenly, from somewhere deep inside me, Dudley, someplace I had not been in a long time, I had this tremendous feeling of remorse. It wasn't fear. I had faced fear a number of times as a pilot, never flinched. But I had this overwhelming feeling that I had thanked the Creator or believed in Him for the good life I had had. And I remember raising my right hand to the setting sun, and it was trembling, shaking. And I called out what I believe were the first of six words that allow me to speak with you and your listeners today. And those six, the first three of those six words, with my hand trembling toward the sun, I cried out, "God, forgive me. Forgive me." Then I fell forward, and I remember a tremendous hit with my head on the steering wheel, and I'm gone.
My goodness.
The next recollection was I remember sitting back up and looking out, and I knew time had passed, Dudley, because now the sun was on the horizon. And I suddenly became aware I have no pain. The pain that had plagued my life for 4 years, that had consumed my every waking moment, pain throughout my entire body, as the myelin sheath on my brainstem deteriorated. And everything from that was pain. And it was gone. The pain was gone. And I simply couldn't believe it. And I slid out of my truck. I walk about 15 feet away in absolute amazement because I'd given up. I thought the rest of my life would be a wheelchair.
Excuse me, Jim. So actually, you weren't physically getting out of your truck. This was the experience in the spirit, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I slid out of the truck without opening the door.
Goodness.
Rather convenient when you think about it.
And then,
I slid out of the truck. I walk about 15 feet away. I look at the setting sun, and I had forgotten what it felt like to feel well. And I'm overwhelmed, and I'm just stunned by what has happened. I look down, and I realize I can see the ground through my feet. And I turn and look back at the truck, and I'm filled with rage and anger because someone is sitting in my truck. Not only that, he's sleeping on the steering wheel. So I turn in my indignation,
yes,
to move over there and ask for an explanation or give him something a little more emphatic. And have you ever had a dream, and I'm sure some of your listeners will relate to this, where you want to move, but your feet won't move.
Yes.
And I could just move in inches, but eventually I got close enough. And the moment that I realized, Dudley, that the man in the truck was no stranger, the man leaning over the steering wheel was me. Now, my nickname as a pilot was Diamond Jim. Whether it was an engine failure, mechanical difficulty, or whatever, I always seemed to overcome it and safely get to our destination.
Wow.
And I'd been blessed with that ability, and I just was, you know, good at analyzing and making the right corrections. But this was something I couldn't correct. But as I'm standing there, that part of my psyche came through. You know, I can fix this. All I have to do is get back in that truck, somehow get back in my body, and everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. Not this time.
Mm-hmm.
Not this time. And suddenly, and this is where the journey really starts, Dudley, I begin to rise. And as a pilot, I'm a good judge of altitude. Mm-hmm. And when I'm about 1,200 to 1,500 feet above the truck, I'm floating slowly backwards. I can look down through the back window of the vehicle and see my body slumped over the steering wheel. And then for some reason, I tilted my head back and looked up. And then instantly, this beautiful golden circle, like a giant golden wedding ring, appeared in the sky. About 60 feet in diameter, the center filled with gold, and then swung inward, although I didn't see any visible hinges or anything, but it was, you know, 60 feet in diameter. And I had a glimpse into this tunnel. And, I mean, unless you've lived under a rock in a cave, I think everyone on Earth has pretty much heard of the Tunnel of Light.
Mm-hmm.
And this was what I was seeing. I never paid any attention to these ravings about people seeing golden tunnels. But here I am, and my body is suspended in midair, and suddenly my body cants backward to a 45-degree angle. I love flying, but I like to have an aircraft under me, and here I am suspended in the air at a 45-degree angle. And suddenly, as though I had advanced the throttles on one of the large jets that I used to fly, I slipped very rapidly into that tunnel. And when I say rapidly, I'm talking speeds of no less than Mach 1 in my estimation. And when I entered the tunnel, it was clouds, but they were golden color. And there was this beautiful light that came from the clouds. And The speed was tremendous. And here's the strange thing. Of course, we've all driven with our car windows open or water skied or whatever you do, and you feel the wind on your face and your hair blowing in the wind. Mm-hmm. And the sound of air rushing by. Absolute silence. And I was terrified. Mm-hmm. No airplane, and I'm flying. But the speed that I went through, I had the feeling I was covering immense distances. And yet I could make out at the end of this tunnel, as distant as it was, an even more brilliant golden light. And in trying to describe this flight through the tunnel, I was speaking in Baltimore one night and trying to describe the sense of speed. And there was a young man in the front pew, and he said, "Sounds like the opening of the television show Star Trek to me." When the stars, yes, they hit warp speed, Dudley, and yes, the stars stream by.
Yes.
And that was the perfect description. Mm-hmm. The stars were streaming by me, and yet this tunnel existed. I was within the tunnel but could see the stars stream by me. And there are moments when I think it was endless. There are times when it seems instantaneous. It's a strange dichotomy, but I suppose rather rapidly, because of the speed, began to decelerate. I had nothing to do with it. And I came upward, and I realized I'm facing a portal, but it's covered in mist. I'm hesitant to step through into the mist because I don't know what waits for me. I put my right foot into the mist and I feel something solid underneath. And so I muster the courage to put my other foot through, and I look down, the mist begins to clear. And I realize, Dudley, I'm standing on the most incredibly beautiful green grass I have ever seen. Every blade of grass, perfection. And as I gently moved my foot, light rippled out.
Wow.
And so I the mist cleared even more. I look up, and the vista that revealed itself, vast mountains in the distance, beautiful sky, brightly lit, a deeper blue than here, but no sun, nor moon, nor stars.
You're listening to The Reality, produced by Sheer Reality, a listener-supported radio ministry. We depend on the generous gifts of our listener to produce this program. You can help reach millions of folks with the sheer reality of the message of Jesus by becoming a Sheer Reality Vision Partner. To partner with us, please visit the website, sheerreality.net, and click on Become a Vision Partner.
If you've just joined us, a hearty hello. Welcome to The Reality. It's Dudley Anderson here today, and I'm talking to Jim Woodford. If you have any questions or you'd like some prayer, I would love to hear from you. Write to me, dudley@surereality.net. Email me, dudley@surereality.net. Jim had an NDE experience, that is a near-death experience. Jim was dead for 11 hours, during which time he experienced a vision of heaven and of hell. However, just before he died, Jim called out to God, "God, forgive me," the first of six words that changed his life forever. He described how at the point of death his spirit left his body and he was transported to heaven. Here he experienced beauty and peace like none other. But then his vision changed and Jim found himself facing the internal suffering of hell. Let's find out more.
Now, as I told you, I had never lived the life of a Christian. I never knew that it said that in the Bible. In heaven there is no moon nor stars, mm-hmm. nor sun nor stars. This beautiful light that resembles sunlight. And suddenly I saw everything behind me, ahead of me. And as I looked at this beautiful vista, I turned my head just slightly to the left. And then the strangest thing occurred. It was as though, Dudley, a line had been drawn directly in front of my vision. And the vista changed dramatically. So I went from that beautiful flower-covered fields full of flowers and verdant grasses and colors that do not exist on earth, a place where color has sound and sound has color. And as I moved my eyes from that beautiful vista, it went from beautiful green grass to scorched black, and then dropped off in a deep crevasse on the left. There's a sense of evil and foreboding. Look, I don't want your listeners to think that I was an evil person. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I did not have God in my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I believe with all my heart that God gave me one last chance. The saddest words in any language are the words "too late." And so here I am looking at this, and I slowly made my way over to this crevasse, and I'm looking down into a deep canyon. And at the bottom of that canyon, in the darkness, was a faint flicker of a red light. And there was a tremendous feeling of, first of all, a stench that was horrific, a smell of things long dead. And I've come to call it the odor of despair. And then to my astonishment, I realized there was movement. And coming through those doors, and they were tall, was the most hideous creature you can imagine. So as I'm watching this thing come out, and I began to hear something else, I began to hear screaming. The look of hatred, Dudley, in its eyes, the look of pure hatred, not just for me, for all of mankind, was palpable. This creature wanted me. And suddenly, it began to rapidly scramble up the side of that pit. And the side was like coal, like anthracite, shiny and dark. As it came up toward me, I heard screaming. And I thought it was the creature screaming. But then I realized the screaming was coming from within the body of that creature. But it was not of the creature. It was as though this creature, this demon, had consumed souls. And the souls were trapped forever inside, and now screaming for help, for release. But it is now too late. And suddenly it reared up out of the pit, and I remember falling backwards on my elbows, and it started to lumber toward me. And I'm scrambling backwards on my elbows. In the dark of the night, I hear the sound of this demon's saliva dripping on the ground in front of me as it waited to consume me. Then it spoke my name. Dudley, this thing knew me. My God, I'd never killed anyone. I wasn't a bad person. But I wasn't a good person. And I'll tell you something. I live my life every day now to do acts of kindness. They're not grandiose, but they are pure acts of kindness, because I'm determined if God, when I go back again, Jesus reads the book of my life, he's going to need three angels and a forklift to open it.
So, Jim, what an experience. Goodness me. Where was Jesus in all of this? Did he rescue you?
Yes. Remember at the beginning, I said there are six words, and the first three were, I cried in the truck, God, forgive me.
Yes.
So with this creature looming over me, I to keep my sanity, I turned my back to it. I raised my hands to the sky, and I cried out the next three words, God, help me. Instantaneously, Dudley, three points of light appeared. They took form. They were guardian angels. A light came from one of them, went over my shoulder blade, and struck the creature behind me. I turned in time to see it shriek and scream and scramble down that hole like a rat running for cover. Wow. Darkness and evil cannot exist in the light of God. They walked me through paradise, and at the same time answered every question I could think of, and gave me such insights. In addition to the book that I've published, I have five journals of memories of conversations with the guardians. But let me get to this. But then I saw one of the guardians about 15 feet away from me on a small rise. And for the first time, I noticed another magnificent being. And there was like a golden light flowed off this being. And I realized that as the light touched me, it was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mm. Someone that in my arrogance, I had thought was just some Jewish legend. And yet here I am looking at this being, and he turned and looked at me. And it was then that he was reading the book of my life. And I dropped to my knees, and when that golden light flowed around me, because it behaved like slow-moving golden water, but it was light, Dudley. And I became filled with this grace and the presence of the Son of God. And I had to get closer. I just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. But he held his hand up in a very distinctive way, palm out toward me, indicating for me to stop, to not come any closer. And I'm persistent, if nothing else, but I tried to crawl on my hands and knees toward him, and he smiled but held his hand up. And so I sat there in amazement, and then he smiled at me and looked at me with those beautiful golden green eyes. And Dudley, in those eyes, I saw such disappointment for mankind who have ignored his Father's message. But I also saw such love and forgiveness for all of us and for me, for the way I had lived my life. And that was the moment, you know, that I realized that whatever was going to happen, I was his forever. This was the moment. And then he leaned toward me, and he kept his hand in the air. And these are the words that he wants you and your listeners to hear. He knew my name. He said, "James, my son, this is not yet your time. Go back and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you." And then his right hand came down and rested on his left. And then the full enormity of it struck me, Dudley. I realized I was not being allowed to stay, and I began to plead, I began to beg, I began to cry, "Please don't send me back, please don't send me back." And suddenly two guardians picked me up and turned me around, and I'm in a dark tunnel. And this time it's not beautiful. I feel pain. I hear rushing water. And I seem to be going at tremendous speed downhill. Of course, I found this out later. I didn't realize until, you know, I got back and was able to talk to Lorraine about what had happened while I was dead. And she said, the nurses ran out and got her and said, "Mrs. Woodford, come quick, come quick." And she ran into the room, and I'm fighting against, you know, I have a trach in, and all my organs had shut down. So I was a strange color of purple, and I was trying to acclimate from the beauty of heaven to this hospital room. And she climbed up on the bed, and she was kissing me, of all the things I could have told my wife about heaven, I looked into her pretty face and I said, Lorraine, I saw Jesus, and Jesus has horses. In the interest of time, I didn't go into how important horses have been in my life, my life since I was a child, and so on. But anyway, all traces of the disease that killed me are gone.
Hallelujah. Wow, that's amazing. Praise God.
I mean, you know, I'm 75. I've got all the aches and pains, but I ride my horses every day.
Jim,
so
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Jim, what an amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today on The Reality. I encourage our listener to seek Jesus and to know the promise of eternal life. The thief comes to kill, steal and destroy, and that of course is the devil, but Jesus came to give us abundant life. Jim Woodford, thank you so much for joining us today on The Reality. What an incredible story. And our thanks to Jim Woodford today for sharing his story with us on The Reality. Once again, Jim's book is entitled Heaven, An Unexpected Journey, on Amazon and where books are sold. You've been listening to The Reality with me, Dudley Anderson. Just to say, if you've heard anything today and you have some questions, I would love to hear from you. If anything we've spoken about has just touched a chord in your heart, write to me by email, dudley@surereality.net. Email me, dudley@surereality.net. The Reality is produced by Sure Reality, a listener-supported radio ministry. Please find out more at our website, surereality.net. From me, Dudley Anderson, till next time, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and God bless you.
Welcome to Your Gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is Your Gospel in Turkish.
Türkçe müjdeniz budur çünkü Tanrı dünyayı o kadar çok sevdi ki, biricik oğlunu verdi, öyle ki, ona iman eden hiç kimse mahvolmasın, sonsuz yaşama kavuşsun.
Your Gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
This is Gospel for You, and you've been hearing Your Gospel in Turkish. A conversation between Dudley Anderson of The Reality and Jim Woodford, who had a near-death experience, and indeed an experience of heaven and hell. And Your Gospel in Ukrainian. Today on Gospel for You, we're exploring a childlike faith, and our theme scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 9. We're going to be reading 1 to 5 right at the moment. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Still coming up in the program, you'll hear Vijay Pillai, "Who is Jesus?" And then we're going to be giving you, listeners, an invitation to respond in prayer, to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
He wasn't an emperor like Julius Caesar. He was not a commander of armies like Napoleon. These are the kind of people we expect to have an impact. He wasn't a political official like Winston Churchill or Theresa May or Nicola Sturgeon here. He's not the sort of person you would think is the sort of person who makes an incredible impact on this world. In fact, the Bible says that if you looked at him, he was fairly unremarkable. He was a carpenter. Now, these days, carpenters do get esteem, and they get some kind of prestige. But in those days, it wasn't the case. A carpenter was pretty much a nobody. Jesus was an unremarkable man. Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth is well known to us today because of Jesus. It's a bit like saying Turriff, sorry, or Alfred. Well, they mean something to us today because we like them. We live around here, but we think, would anything important come that'll turn the world upside down from Alfred? Well, think again, lens from Alfred. That's the sort of thing we thought. He was fairly unremarkable, but he made some amazing claims. He claimed that in his person, the God who created this universe had broken in. In his person, in Christ Jesus, his claim was the rule, the reign of God had broken him. And that we could live our lives as we were meant to live in this Jesus. His claim was that in him we found hope. In him we found fulfillment. All that we were created for, all that we were designed for was fulfilled in him. And as he taught these things, as he communicated these things to the world and to the people around him, many doubted. Many thought, you know, I mean, come on, a carpenter? He can't be that remarkable. Really, this carpenter is the creator of the universe? I remember several years ago when I was in university, I used to volunteer once a week in a homeless shelter, and there used to be a guy who used to come in. We used to call him Millionaire Dan. And the reason we called him Millionaire Dan was every Thursday I'd volunteer and he'd come. And he'd have no teeth, and all you'd see is gums. And he'd walk in, he'd come in rags, and somebody had given him an old military backpack. And he'd come in there, and he'd announce his arrival. He says, "Here's Millionaire Dan!" And he'd smile, and he'd cackle through a toothless grin. And then he'll tell me about his properties that he had. And he'd tell me of his assets that he would have, and his mansions and his palaces. And I said, "So Dan, tell me, how's your palace doing this week?" And he'd laugh and kind of shrug his shoulders. He said, "You mean my cardboard box down by the river under the bridge?" And he'd laugh. Is Jesus like Millionaire Dan? And yet, though some doubted, some heard this Jesus and his message made sense. And there was something remarkable about the things that he was saying, about the meaning, about the purpose of life that was found in this Jesus. This could really be the man who would make the world right. This could really be that promised Messiah, the one who was to come, that was promised long time ago. And they started believing him, and they started following him. But then something happened that completely devastated them. This same Jesus, whom they loved for 3 years and followed and heard his teaching, was killed, and he died. In fact, he didn't just die. He died a shameful, embarrassing death. A death on a cross. A criminal's death on the cross. And the disciples thought to themselves, how stupid of us. There was despair, but maybe we were wrong. Everything he said made sense, and yet he died. And not just died, he died a shameful death. Were we so stupid to be taken in by Millionaire Dan? Were we so stupid to be taken in by a carpenter who called himself God? And yet, as they remembered, yet there was something about this Jesus. He did for us those things that, you know, you would think only God could do. That's what they're thinking. He did for us. He forgave us in a way that only God was allowed to do. Only God can forgive the way he forgave. He filled our lives with wonder in a way that only God could fill our lives with wonder. You know, if there was such a being as God, he would look a lot like this Jesus. And yet, he's dead. But something amazing happened 3 days after. Something incredible happened 3 days later when some of these followers who still love this Jesus were slightly in chaos and confusion, whatever he be, you know, they loved this man and they were going to embalm him. He was buried in a tomb with a big stone in the face of this tomb. And they found the stone rolled away. Who took our Jesus? Later, in the same day, they saw this Jesus alive and well. And then it all came back together. In bits and in portions, and they began to realize what had just taken place before them. Because Jesus had said this would happen. He had said that he would die. He had said, and they had dismissed it. That can't be. No, Jesus, not you. I mean, you're, after all, you know, this superhero, aren't you? You can't die. But he had said he would die. Not only that, he had said he would rise from the dead. And suddenly they realized that his life, His death, his resurrection was in fact the way that God was going to restore this world to himself, an opportunity for every human being to receive Christ. If they trusted him, believed him, they could restore their relationship with God. Jesus continued, the resurrected Jesus continued with the disciples for another 40 days before he ascended into heaven. The Bible says this, and those who saw him says this, that before he ascended, he gathered his disciples and said something to them. He said, and this is Matthew, another one of Jesus' disciples, he says this, and Jesus came and told his disciples, this is Matthew reporting, and Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, is what we're doing today. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus says, you know, what you've seen in this short time you have had with me is the Savior of the world, and here's your task. You now go. And guess what 2,000 years people have been doing? Is doing what these four guys have been doing. And they've trusted Jesus and they've been baptized. For 2,000 years, that's the story of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is God. Who is Jesus? He's the Savior of the world. Who is Jesus? He's the one who pulls our lives together. Our lives are broken, fragmented, and all over the place until we place our trust in Christ Jesus. He's the hope of all the world. See, here's the thing. You can't be neutral about Jesus. You can't be neutral about Jesus. And I'll tell you why. Because Millionaire Dan might really be a millionaire. And I was reading this a few months ago, a true story of a homeless man named Leroy. And he would turn up at a church-run shelter for about 13 years. And during this time, he was always served by a nurse named Rita, who volunteered at that shelter. And every now and then, Leroy would drop these massive claims about being a millionaire. And Rita would laugh it off. And one day Rita noticed that Leroy hadn't been coming for a few weeks. And so she was puzzling, and it became a few months. And then a lawyer turned up at the shelter to tell her that a chap named Leroy had died and had left her, the homeless shelter, and a national radio service station in the U.S. some money. And Rita giggled and she said, well, how much? And he replied, $4 million, to be exact. And I tell you something. Maybe Jesus' claims of who he is like Millionaire Dan. Or maybe it is like Leroy. You see, you and I cannot be neutral about it. When someone comes to you and says, I am God. Well, you might laugh. You might think it's a bad joke. You might call the psychiatrist and say, you know, well, I think there's someone with some delusions here. Or you might call the police and say, well, I think there's a con man going around. And what he's doing is he's duping and fooling vulnerable people who think he's God. You might do any of that. See, you can't be neutral about Jesus. He might be crazy. He might be a con man. Or he might truly be who he is, the Son of God. And C.S. Lewis puts it this way. And I want to close with this. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Who is Jesus?
B.J. Pillay, who's the pastor at Aberdeen Christian Fellowship, exploring something of who Jesus Christ, Son of God, is. This program is considering a childlike faith. This is Gospel for You, where it's our heart to get the gospel, the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, out to every language group around the world. From Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." What different values Christ has to what the world has, what the world wars to own, is only temporal. What Christ offers is something much more. And we're telling you all these things because we want to give you an opportunity, the knowledge that is needed, the biblical knowledge that is needed by experience, by God's word, and letting you, the listener, make up your mind what your destiny should be. We've heard in this program from Vijay Pillay asking who Jesus Christ is. We've heard your gospel in Ukrainian, Turkish, and just at the end of this program, in Afan Oromo, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." We heard from one man, Jim Woodford, who had a near-death experience and experienced something of both heaven and hell, both very real places indeed. Sometimes it's hard to understand another person's life, and that's why we put testimonies in. Now is an opportunity for you to put your trust in Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And doing that is the same as Jim Woodford did by crying out, "Forgive me, Lord." It's the same as crying out, "Help me." And that's exactly what happened to him. He was given another chance. This is your chance. And it's a prayer that places entire reliance on God. It's nothing of us, but it's everything through what Christ Jesus has done on the cross in our place. Christ Jesus paid that cost, that whosoever, that's you and that's me, if we believe in our heart, we speak with our mouth, we will be saved, as the Bible describes it, at the end of time. We need have no fear of hell, even no fear of death, no dread of God, because of Christ Jesus, what he has done for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please forgive me for the way that I have lived my life. All the words that I've used, both written and spoken. My wrong attitudes, my behaviour, my thought life, my broken promises, the ways I've let people down, and the other wrong things I've done. Help me to repent, to turn away from all these things. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. Believing that in your heart and speaking that with your mouth has made you right with God through Christ Jesus. And that means you can come to God in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. God will hear you and does hear you and wants to hear you. Remember, for God so loved the world, you and me. And that means all of you, that whosoever, whatever your background, whatever you've come from, God can work with you, in you, through your life. And that is what he's done with those who have accepted him this day. And it's a case of start reading the Bible. Start getting that Bible into you. Start believing it. Start doing it. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. And your neighbour as yourself. And that neighbour could be the person next to you on the battle lines. That neighbour could be the one in the street. The bus driver. The tram driver. The train driver. The pilot. The airline staff. That person in the store. That person could be your own wife and your parents and your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. That person could be your next door neighbor. But love your neighbor. We would love to know if you've got any questions or if you have actually accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have, then please do get in contact with me. I'd love to hear from you. And you can get in contact by sending me an email through to Rob, R-O-B, at g4g.org.uk. And I'll be back with you next week, God willing, at the same time. Until then, bye-bye for now.
Welcome to Your Gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
John 3:60 in Afan Oromo from Ethiopia. Wangela Yohannes bokonna sadila kofsi kuraja kanajera. Waqayyo akkasitti tokkicha ilmasa hamma kennu fitti biya lafa jallate. Kunimmo isatti kan amanu hundinu jireenya barabara haqabatuuf male habaduuf miti.
Your Gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in live from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Till I die, He'll take me to